I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. Amen. Amen. Good morning. So if you're a hockey fan, I hope that you're going to appreciate that today I have what I'm going to refer to as a hat trick of scripture to draw upon. A hat trick is three good things in a row. So we have David and Bathsheba showing us what greed and lust and evil can do even to the most elite in society. And next we have Jesus feeding the 5,000, showing us that generosity and care for our neighbors can yield miraculous outcomes. And finally, at the end of the gospel, Jesus walks on the water and then magically transports himself and the boat and the disciples in an instant to where they were going. Where to start? Where to start? You know, as the preacher trying to answer the question, what is the scripture message today? This is a challenge. The message I gleaned from the story of David and Bathsheba and Uriah was this. You know, that even the greatest among us, those chosen to be anointed by God to lead us, can fall into temptation and are subject to evil. You know, at some point, I think that we all look out just for ourselves, for our wants, for our desires. We put ourselves ahead of everyone else. No one, not even David, escapes the temptations of sin. No one is perfect. Everyone falls into sin, even priests. Isn't that right, Denise? Yeah. The message that I have about sin is that sin is a way that locks us into a cycle that is difficult to escape from, and it's a pattern of self-serving acts that often lead to earthly wealth and pleasure. That's a tough cycle to break. And it puts a strong lock on our souls. Love and redemption are the keys to open that lock so we can free ourselves. I think that love is the key to understanding the gospel today. John gives us two miracles to ponder. The first, Jesus feeds the 5,000, and later that night, he walks on the water. Now, these are passages that I think describe miracles that require us to take an extra dose of faith to even begin to kind of digest what they mean. These gospels are certainly no exception to that. When we hear the story of the 5,000, by the way, that were gathered to hear Jesus, I want to mention to you that they only counted the men. So this story could really be about the feeding of the 5,000 to maybe the 15,000. And if you have ever been to Israel, there's a church there on a hill. It's called the Church of the Multiplication in northwest shores of Galilee. And it was built first, I think, in 350 AD. And there is some question about, oh, was that exactly the place? You know, they're not sure, is that it? But I'll tell you what. If you've ever stood outside the gates, outside the fence of the church, and looked out over these vast fields that lead down to the sea, you can imagine thousands of people who would have been gathered there, gathered, sitting in the field, listening, waiting to hear, waiting to see Jesus. You know, I mentioned David and the self-serving behavior that overtakes us and leads us to sin. But here's some good news. We as human beings can also be loving and nurturing people who care about each other. Now, Jesus was Jewish. And I'll tell you what, one of the principles of Jewish culture is based on the idea that if everyone in the community thrives, then everyone benefits. This means that helping your neighbor to start a business or lending resources to another so that they can harvest their crops or build a structure, this means that they'll be able to afford to buy other goods and services from other people. Helping each other actually helps ourselves. Creating a community that encourages each other and helps each other thrive, that takes courage and that takes trust. Trust that there's going to be enough for everyone. And there will be. as long as we stop destroying and squandering and hoarding the resources that God has given us out of greed. What really happened that day on the field by the edge of the sea? Did a few loaves of bread and fish really multiply into a feast that fed thousands of people? Later that evening, did Jesus come walking across the water to transport the apostles instantly to their destination after hours of rowing against the wind? I think both these things happened, but perhaps not in the way they're sort of magically portrayed in the scripture. Now, I love the story of Jesus walking on the water. I think just because something has never happened before, it makes it impossible. I think that anything is possible with God. But between the two miracles in today's gospel, I'm willing to have faith that Jesus did walk across the water as a sign to his disciples that he was indeed the divine Son of God. The question about Jesus walking across the water has been debated for centuries. Scientifically, it's been proven, and then it's been disproven. But what I do know is this: I'm open to the possibilities, I'm open to the questions, and I am absolutely not going to come to a conclusion in the next 3 minutes. So what I'm more interested in exploring is the miracle of how 5,000 plus people came together and were fed by a couple loaves and fishes. What do you think happened? People had gathered from everywhere. I kind of get visions of Woodstock in my head when I think about this and picture it. You know, different people from everywhere, different races and cultures, people from different trades. They all came together. Certainly there were some Roman soldiers. I mean, this was an occupied territory. There were leaders of the synagogues. There were shopkeepers, travelers from foreign lands. And they're all in this one place on the hill. Jesus was there. Love was there. So Jesus told the disciples to feed the people. And I could probably, I can hear Andrew's voice in my head as he's trying to say, well, there's a boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. I mean, it was probably full of sarcasm and frustration, like, hey, we got 5 loaves of bread. And Jesus says, make the people sit down. There's 5,000 people. I'm not sure how they did that either, but the people did sit down. And then Jesus gave thanks, and he took what he had. He took those 5 loaves and those 2 fish, and he shared them with those people. Have you all taken a road trip when you brought along just 1 or 2 too many snacks? Think Shrinemont. Or have you ever packed your lunch for work or had groceries in your car on your way home? Imagine now this group gathered that day. It's likely there were some fishermen and some bakers and some women who had full water jugs just coming from the well. There were shepherds who had their provisions from the fields, maybe merchants and vineyard owners and farmers. All these people of different colors and creeds and professions and walks of life gathered. And Jesus gave thanks and shared what he had. And I like to think that the miracle that day, maybe the miracle that day, was that all of the people gathered shared what they had with each other. Made it possible for everyone to be satisfied. They wanted everyone there to thrive. They treated each other with love and respect, and I believe in God. They believed in God. They were there to see Jesus. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit to share their gifts with each other. They'd heard the teaching, they experienced the fellowship, and they broke bread together. They weren't out for themselves, but they were sharing with each other in peace. Jesus himself gave them the example of sharing what he had. That day, I think they demonstrated what it meant to love one another, to love their neighbors as themselves. They respected the dignity of all people, and everyone who ate was satisfied. When they were done, they gathered up 12 baskets of surplus, but the word in Greek actually means abundance. They gathered 12 baskets of abundance. They gave of their abundance, and they gathered abundance that was left over. The account of the feeding in these terms outlines our baptismal covenant. The people that day, the people were the miracle to each other. So what does that mean to us? Are we the miracle that someone is waiting for? When we give our time and our talent and our money to make sure that Holy Cross is here now and for generations to come, do we become the miracle that someone will be waiting for? We are the hands and feet of Christ in the world, and respecting the dignity of all people, loving and helping others thrive through making coffee, making sandwiches, feeding the hungry, being of service to the homeless, weeding the gardens, caring for the facilities. Everything we do helps us live into our baptismal covenant. Sharing as Jesus did on that day in the field, I think we become the miracle. You know, most of you may know that my dad died last week, and I wanted to share a story about him that kept popping into my head as I read this scripture. He was a car dealer, and he managed many businesses in his life, but the last one, he owned a small little car lot that had a repair shop and a convenience store attached to it. And give you a setting, it's northwestern Pennsylvania, and from Ohio through Pennsylvania and up into New York, there are all kinds of fruit farms and produce farms. And what that brings with it are migrant workers who come through there to take care of the harvest during the late summer. So one day when I was in high school in late summer, my father came home from work, which was kind of odd. He pulled into the driveway and he came into the house. He said hi to me and he went upstairs. And he came down with one of these nice, crisp, white dress shirts. I looked at him and I said, "Where are you going with the shirt, Dad?" He's like, "I got a guy who's buying a car." And I said, "Okay." And he goes, "Well," I said, "Well, what are you doing with the dress shirt?" And he said, "Well," he stopped for a minute and he thought he'd tell me the story. There was a man, not of his culture, not of his social circle, a man, a migrant worker in his family, who'd stopped because he was having trouble with his car and asked if Dad could repair the car. And Dad said, "Nah, this guy's car is shot, but I got a pretty good one there on the lot. And let me tell you, those kids are cute." He said, "Those kids are so cute." He says, "I gave them some candy. They're waiting for me. I'm having the used car. I think it'll do them pretty well. It's being fixed right now." And I said, "Okay, great. What's with the shirt?" And he said, "Oh, well, the guy has a chance to be a foreman at the next farm they're going to, but he's got to interview with the farmer and they've got to get there early. And so I asked him if he had anything to wear besides his old work shirts, and he told me no. So I figured I'd see if I could give him a leg up here and give him a nice shirt to wear." And I said, "Oh, okay." So my dad left and went back. And, what that really taught me was that day, my dad taking $500 in an old car, on trade, simply on the faith that this man was going to come back 3 months later and pay for this car, showed me that my dad understood that if this man thrived, he could take care of his family. And if he had a nice clean work shirt and could be a foreman, there's a better chance that when he came back through, he'd be able to pay for that car my dad sold him. And then my father would use that money to take care of our family. That day, I think that my dad was the miracle that family needed. Life is never in our control. We are at the mercy of God. We are at the mercy of the laws of nature, and no breath is ever promised us. But God is merciful, and he knows that we are flawed, and we are human and worldly and self-righteous sinners. But God loves us just the same. And God calls us to God's self. What we can control is how we respond to one another. And the best response that we can have is love. Love God and each other, and seek forgiveness when we harm others. Support each other on this wild ride of human being on this earth. Seek to be the miracle that someone else is looking for. Amen.